CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister, a heavily congested Brian Schulmeister.
Oh, Canada get the better of you?
Kids. I think it's more kids.
Oh, that's right. The disease factories.
Yes, yes. The little disease carrier bringing things home every single day. So
yay.
Good times.
Look, it's making you stronger.
That's right. I think I'm strong enough at this point. I'm good.
Okay.
Bit of follow-up here. That AI-generated George Carlin comedy special that everybody hated and is being sued. Not done by AI. Written by humans.
Really?
Yeah, initial reports from NPR said the AI was trained on thousands of hours of Carlin routines to create the material, but Dudezy, the channel that created and posted the video, was later approached by the New York Times, and their spokesperson said the video was completely written by Chad Kultgen, one of the channel's hosts. Both host comedian Will Sasso and writer Kultgen are named in the suit. So,
well,
not AI. I sense publicity play.
Mm-hmm.
Slap on AI on that thing, and everybody's going to pay attention right now. Now, they should have just made it funny. That would have helped.
That really would have helped. Yeah, that would have been...
You know, you can get publicity, but quality, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not good for them.
No, it's not.
This is what you get when you mess with George Carlin. Even from the grave, he'll come back at you.
That's right.
I saw this one. This was pretty cool. This is another little bit of follow-up, because we've been talking about the AI car. Or not the AI car.
Trying to get publicity.
I got universe creep. EVs. We've been talking about EVs and how they seem to be on the wane in popularity. And, you know, e-bikes were really big during COVID. They seem to, you know, kind of started waning a bit since I think everybody on the planet owns like two or three at this
right.
point.
Yeah.
Well, this is a new study out of Germany that suggests that people that get cargo bikes, electric cargo bikes versus regular e-bikes, are much more likely to get rid of their cars.
Well, you can do your shopping with us.
Yeah, that's the upside. You know, it turns into an actual useful vehicle, not just something out for a daily meander down the bike path.
Well, you know, as with most things, California and Santa Monica in particular seems to be way ahead of the curve on this, because I remember back in the day going to the farmer's market every Sunday in Santa Monica. And of course, there were a bunch of people that pulled up in these. The thing is, infrastructure. Where's the parking? Where's all the bike locks? Where's the roads that I would feel safe riding this bike down?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's the same as any bike, really, but...
Yeah. Well, it's a bit wider.
Not really, though.
Well, when you slap the things on the side, Jason.
Yeah, they're just about as wide as your ass. I had one of the electric cargo e-bikes for a little bit.
Your ass.
Yeah, well, you know. Even my svelte little tiny butt. It wasn't that much bigger when you
right.
had it all put together. I mean, not by... It didn't get wider than the handlebars, let's just say that.
Yeah.
So that part wasn't really a thing. They are heavier for sure, so you can't put them in your car. So they're definitely made for going from home to the place and back.
Yeah.
And God forbid you have stairs. I think the one that I had weighed about 90 pounds.
Yeah, that's hefty.
Yeah, so that's, you know, garage to farmer's market and back.
Yeah. You know, if I were still living in Santa Monica, I would totally get one of these. I could
they're
do everything.
Actually,
I wouldn't even need a car.
Nope. You wouldn't.
Except to get to my mom's and, you know, anywhere that wasn't Santa Monica. But other than that, yeah.
Oh, you could take public transfer. Oh, wait. No,
oh,
you can't do that. So this was, like I said, it was a German program. So they actually surveyed about 2,386. So that's actually that's not about. That's they surveyed 2,386.
Well, it's a German survey, Jason. They're going to give you the exact number of people that they surveyed, and they also probably went in and built all the infrastructure for this so it would actually work, because they're German.
Yes, I like this. A bit more than 18% of survey respondents said they either got rid of their car or decided buying against a car. And 80% of those people said they did so for environmental reasons. Nearly 49% said they ditched a car for financial reasons. 42% because they had no interest in driving a car, and about 10% due to the safety risks of driving a car. And this was the real shocker. The average age of the study's participants was 41.6 years old.
Right. Well, I think the shocker there is 80% of the people said they did so for environmental reasons. But I have heard that the environmental movement is very big in Germany. Mm. They want to make sure that the planet's nice so they can take it over again.
Take it over again.
Nobody wants to take over a shithole.
In the news.
Now, Brian, we've talked a couple times about how Gizmodo is basically run by an alternate universe us.
Yes.
And I love this latest article. Thank God FTX won't be coming back. So it is official that FTX is dead, dead, dead.
I'm convinced that Gizmodo has run a headline writing AI on our shows.
I swear they have to have. But the real kicker was this one paragraph. FTX was a walking disaster of a company, and any attempt to rehabilitate its image would be the equivalent of trying to turn a flaming dumpster into a functional commuter vehicle. Best to let it die a natural death and have it serve as a warning to would-be crypto criminals to never try anything remotely resembling this scheme again. Bravo. Well,
sadly, nobody's going to listen, and we will have more of them.
Yes, yes. Oh, of course. Of course. Yep. Crypto ain't dead, brother. Crypto ain't dead. This guy might be dead soon, though. Elon Musk has actually got his Neuralink company to insert a chip into a human.
How is that even possible?
It was approved by the FDA. So they said
the FDA can't approve anything, but they approved this.
As we just found out that, you know, all the cough medicine that we've been taking our entire lives has turned out to be absolutely useless in snake mm-hmm. oil. Mm-hmm. So now they're just letting him shove chips into people's heads.
Yeah, this guy's going to die.
Yeah, he's definitely. He's fucked. He's fucked. And we're fucked if we let Elon start putting chips in people's heads. Because, you know, he can't get a self-driving car to work. How's he going to get a robot human?
Did the lawsuit about all the monkeys that they killed and then lied about how many of them died, has that even been resolved yet? I just don't understand how this happens. But okay.
I know. It's all a strange right. time to be alive.
I mean, I'm sure the person was like last resort, like life was crap. There was no quality of life. Mm-hmm. Things were totally screwed for this guy. Okay, sure. Let's do this. But, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day, you would have to go off to some private island and do this.
Or Mexico.
Yeah, or Mexico or Thailand. But yeah, I guess now we do it here. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. man, we've been saying since this show started, we live in a third world country. So bring it on.
Yeah.
And there were some Senate hearings this week. And Linda Yaccarino made the news because mm-hmm. she threw out some interesting statistics. This is very interesting statistics. She said that less than 1% of X's users were teens ages 13 to 17.
Bullshit.
Yeah, absolute bullshit. But here's the real twist to it. She is calling X a 14-month-old company, completely forgetting the fact – not forgetting. This is a I don't even know what
revisionist history.
It is a revisionist history, but I think it even goes – it's like revisionist history plus. Saying that X is only 14 months old and Twitter never existed. So they're all new now, even though they live on the carcass of the dead underneath.
She is aware that companies exist before you start working there, right?
No, I don't think so. Okay. No, I don't think so.
Look at this brand new place I've walked into.
That was just a funny bit for me that she's actually toeing the line with a straight face to fucking Senate that X is only 14 months old.
Yes, mm-hmm. well. I don't know if you watched any of the proceedings. I did watch a little bit of it. It's better than it has been. I'll put it that way. Like most of the senators actually know what this stuff is now. And most of the senators kind of stayed to the point and asked good questions. Of course, there were idiots like Tom Cotton and some of the other senators that just asked really stupid things bordering on racist and definitely a lot of people trying to score political points instead of staying to the task at hand. But overall, a lot better than it ever used to be. We had the CEOs of Meta, Snap, Discord, X, and TikTok. Somebody badgered Mark Zuckerberg into turning around and facing a bunch of people. The room was filled with parents of children who had been victims of online exploitation, and he apologized to them.
A canned apology that didn't mean 10
anything.
10 seconds later.
Yes. And nothing will fucking change, of course.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Discord was considered such a big thing at this point, but it is now. It's up there with everybody else. And
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they, you know, the senators really just kind of pointed out every single one of your platforms has been used and you have no moderation. You don't bother with moderation. You pay lip service to moderation. Fix it. And they won't. So.
No, of course not. No, it's not in anybody's best interest to have this fixed. It is. It's not
just
it's
just
not,
the people.
Yeah, well.
But fuck the people.
You got to turn the whole system off. You really
I'm
do
okay
have to turn
that.
The whole system off. I've done that now. It's yeah. pretty nice. No more social on the phone. I just have it on one iPad. Right. So it is for that time of day when I kick back at night and just, you know, want to scramble my brain before I go to bed. It's mm-hmm. perfect. Platformer that just came out, Casey Newton's newsletter, has a really good take on this. And talks about some possible solutions to it that they'll never do. And I would like to say that the questioning of the TikTok CEO was not borderline racist. That was 100% racist.
Okay. It actually really fucking was.
It was.
He's like,
I'm from
Singapore, China.
Yeah.
You from China? Fucking asshole.
Yeah.
He remarkably kept his shit together pretty well. Not that I want to give TikTok any points, particularly given the next story.
Okay.
And here we go. This was the big news inside my household. Universal Music Group warns it will pull songs from TikTok after deal expiration. And it didn't just warn, they did it. So they've started pulling the catalogs of the performers they represent, including Taylor Swift, Drake, and Billie Eilish, The Weeknd, and others. They are no longer available on TikTok, and any videos featuring the music will be muted going forward, forcing creators to replace the tracks with options from other music labels or amateurs or whatever the fuck they want that isn't UMG. Yeah, I mean, you know, basically just talks melted down. TikTok basically said, we don't need you. And Universal said, well, you're using us, so you need to pay us for it. And TikTok said, nah. And then UMG said, okay, I'm taking my toys and going home. And that's kind of how it played out. So,
all right. I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall in your house for that.
Oh, boy. It's been a stressful week.
Oh, man. Now, can you get your wife pointed at Spotify next? Can you just have her go
Spotify pays.
Not much.
No, not much, but they pay. That's the argument. It's like we are just trying to get anything we can from these people because they don't want to pay us anything.
Yeah, there's a good article over at Bloomberg called TikTok is thrown into disarray as music from Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande disappeared, blah, blah, blah. Yes, we know mm-hmm. that. This column is usually about podcasting and things of the like. Sometimes they throw in the audio side of social media, which they did today. And I really like this because they actually highlight some of the artists that are stuck in the middle of the fight.
Yeah, it sucks for the artists.
It really does. Yeah. This one artist, Cody Fry, he has a really good quote. I feel like I'm a person standing between two colliding planets. It's just hard as a hardworking artist to see a budding viral trend with one of your songs that's really awesome in its infancy, just like that, get crushed by multi-billion dollar corporations.
Yeah. And then, you know, TikTok's argument is that that's the point. That's why you should have your music up here and we should pay you nothing for it because you're breaking artists. It's promotion. How many times have we heard that argument, Jason?
Yeah.
It's promotion. We shouldn't get paid because you're promoting yourself and you're gaining more fans. Universal's point is, no, you're making billions of dollars. You're using our content. You need to pay us. Not a lot, but you need to pay us. And Universal's argument really is just, we got to hold the line here because we need to get paid for this stuff. So sorry, people that had viral things breaking right now. Promotion isn't going to be enough. You need to get paid. Anyways, whatever. It's two big conglomerates fighting each other. It's hard to feel sympathetic either way.
Yeah. I don't feel sympathy. I feel sympathy to the artist is the only place I feel the sympathy.
I'm sympathy to my mortgage payments. So go UMG.
Yeah. Of course. At the end, though, Noah Kahan, I've never heard of him, but apparently he's a Grammy nominee for Best New Artist. And this is interesting. He said to know when his new song is going to be available since it won't be on TikTok anymore. He explained people should pre-save it on their preferred streaming app. Mm-hmm. How do you pre-save it?
Pre-save is the new pre-order.
Okay.
So you can go into Spotify and people track these things. It's almost like the new charts. That's all it really does is if you're following an artist and you go to Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, you can basically, as an artist, you can put in, you know, I'm going to release this track on next Tuesday.
Okay.
And people go in, click on pre-save. And when it comes out on Tuesday, you get notified and there you go.
Okay.
That's it. That's all it is. It's dumb. It
shows you how much I know about streaming apps.
You know, this is one of those things where we've lost the gatekeepers, the traditional gatekeepers like radio and music and things like that. So, like, how do you know when stuff is out anymore? You don't. So people are trying to find ways to do that.
Yeah. I mean, look, we even talk about that on Amazon. We follow authors on Amazon, and you know, we can miss two books because they never notify us.
Even
we
nine times out of ten, they never even send the damn mailing.
I know. Even though we have the little checkbox marked, notify me of upcoming releases. Yeah. Nothing. Zippo.
Well, you know, it's not Amazon. Amazon probably says, well, that's up to the, you know, it's up to the publisher to use a tool that we have to send out a notification or something, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, and as we know, publishers don't do shit.
Yes, exactly. Sucks to be a creator.
It does. Although I love this, music piracy is back in a big way, especially from YouTube.
Of course.
Visits to music piracy websites went up more than 13% last year, says a new report. The majority of those visits were to sites that allow users to download the audio from YouTube URLs. Mm-hmm. So this is just people who don't know how to go get Set App, like we say very often, and get the Downy app. And just download it straight to your computer. You don't need a website to do it. Or view source and find the source URL and just go load that and save it. Because people are lazy and dumb. But anyway, so people are downloading music again, which is interesting since all these platforms make it extraordinarily hard to put downloaded music on your device.
Yes, it does.
I mean, I've been trying to do this with my library, with my iPhone, with Apple and Apple Music. You know, even though I saved it and I have all the files locally and transferring them to my phone is just, it works like a third of the time. Syncing is impossible. It is painful. It is absolutely painful.
For a device that started off as basically just a music player.
Exactly.
I mean, cannot do it.
Fucking iPod. That was the point of the thing. They have stripped it down so much that everything is reliant on streaming because
a music player, a phone, a music player. A phone.
And well, an not internet anymore, communicator. Man. Don't forget the internet communicator.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Internet communicator.
Yeah, not
all
anymore.
All gone now.
I wonder if we're going to see an uptick in, as the kids kind of start to blow back a bit on streaming and get nostalgic. I mean, we've seen the rise in vinyl sales, obviously. I wonder if we're going to see a rise in MP3 players and digital device players. I was tempted to get one a while back just for my car to make it easier because they're cheap now. You can get it, and the real nice thing is you can throw in a micro SD card for like, you know, a couple, like 2 terabytes now. I think the micro SD cards have finally gotten up to.
Yeah, for like 5 cents.
It's ridiculous.
They're cheap.
Yeah, and just throw that thing in and keep your playlist like you used to do.
That would be nice.
I've been tempted. Been tempted. Comcast finally got smacked down for its claims that it has a 10G network.
Grumpy Old Geeks, the first 100G podcast.
Exactly. So, yeah, they finally have to stop saying that their network is 10G.
I hope they fired whoever came up with that idea in the marketing department.
Nobody gets fired, Brian.
I know. No, promoted.
Nobody gets. Yep, that's it. Exactly. Yep. They're now CEO. Yep. CEO plus plus. Oh, this one's interesting. 23andMe has lost billions, almost worthless now.
Good.
Yeah, since all
they deserve it.
All of our data has been hacked and sent out to the wild. So, yeah. And it's funny, this is Ann Wojcicki's company. You know, her sister used to be head of YouTube. Yep. Her mom is a superstar. This is, you know, I'd be really interested to be around the Thanksgiving table on this one. You know, Susan, how you doing? I run YouTube. We make 10 gazillion dollars a month. Ann, how you doing? Well, I sucked people's DNA and I lost all the money. Shit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a great idea for a company. Shame they didn't pay any attention to security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And apparently, too, I guess the raw data was stolen, not just the basics. So.
Yep. That was my biggest nightmare, was that would happen. And that's why I would never do one of these things.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't, because who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, they've got the building blocks of people.
It doesn't, I don't lose any sleep over it.
No, I mean, you know, there's nothing you can do about it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just seemed like a bad idea to me. I don't trust these internet companies.
Even though we worked for them and we made a bunch of them.
That's exactly why I don't trust them.
That's why we know not to trust them.
Exactly.
Oh, we know how the sausage is made and sequenced now. Yeah. How the sausage is sequenced. The FCC is moving to outlaw AI-generated robocalls. I find this hilarious.
Why don't we start with any
robocall? Yeah. They can't outlaw any robocalls, let alone AI-generated robocalls. So this is just like FCC moves to outlaw space alien robocalls from the planet Zeist.
We're going to outlaw robocalls from companies that start with the letter C. In this very special episode of Sesame Street.
Oh. Yeah, that's
good
just,
luck with that.
Good luck.
How are you going to tell? You can't do any of them. I've signed up for all the lists. I get calls 3 times a day. I don't even know why I have a phone on my music and internet connected device.
I know. I wish I didn't have a phone on mine, honestly.
There's no point to it.
No, I think the one company that I can at least say is doing the most for me when it comes to spam calls is AT&T.
Yeah, Verizon's own blocking system is pretty decent too. Obviously not good enough, but yeah.
Yeah, there's one switch that needs to be set. If call comes from spam caller, don't fucking ring.
Yes.
That's it.
Agreed. I don't understand why that's not built in or an option. If it's spam likely, then I don't want to hear it ring.
Yeah, I mean, because it's one or the other. It's either accept calls from only numbers you know or the wide open world.
And you can't do just only numbers you know, especially as you get a little bit older or you have a kid? Doctor's offices don't use a single number.
No, they
don't.
They
come from all over the fucking place. Yep. Like, there is no one number for your doctor anymore.
I got stung by that big time.
Yep.
And I missed a neurologist appointment. See, that's what happens when you miss your neurologist appointment.
You missed the appointment, Jason.
And it took me 2 weeks to reschedule. I was miserable for 2 weeks. This was right after I had the stroke. And it was just like, just because I had that turned on and I didn't realize it. I had Kaiser in my phone list. I had 17 numbers from Kaiser. My doctor's at Kaiser.
Yep.
Nope. Comes
Every
from
call
some
comes
robo
from
service.
A completely new number. Yep.
Yeah. So iRobot and Amazon are going to not actually have their acquisition. So,
okay. Hasn't this been going on for like 20 years?
It feels like it. It feels like it. It's a good thing for iRobot, though, because they get a $94 million termination fee.
Nice.
That's how you get paid.
Yep.
That's how you get paid.
Yep. Pretty cool. Well, good for them. Tesla is being sued by 25 California counties for allegedly mishandling hazardous waste. The lawsuit, which seeks civil penalties and an injunction forcing Tesla to correctly handle waste, was filed after months of negotiations reportedly broke down. Civil penalties could amount to as much as $70,000 per violation per day. Now keep that number in mind.
Okay.
So waste materials have included lubricating oils, brake fluids, lead acid batteries, aerosols, antifreeze,
cleaning fluids,
propane, paint, acetone, liquefied petroleum gas, adhesives, and diesel fuel. And it continues to do so from and at its facilities. Now, they've been here before, of course, and they reached a settlement with the EPA over federal hazardous materials violations before. As part of that, they agreed to properly manage waste at its Fremont plant and pay a $31,000 fee.
$31,000.
Yeah. Not $70,000 per violation per day, which is what they're trying for this time, but they will not get. They will probably get something like a $31,000 fine, because that's what we do when we don't take things seriously.
I don't know. I think that they're definitely not going to get $70,000 per violation per day, but they're going to get more than $31,000 because that what they're going for now is because they broke the deal.
Yeah.
They broke the 2019 deal. So I
think
they're going to come
back.
But
that deal was only for one plant, the Fremont plant. So, and this is just they're alleging basically everywhere. Everywhere Tesla has a plant, they're doing this. So,
got it.
Of course they are.
Fun times. Well, I think everybody's seen this at this point, but...
Speaking of Tesla's heavy metals.
Yes, exactly. Heavy metal drummer cost Elon Musk $55.8 billion. Richard Tornetta, one-time thrash band drummer. I love this guy so much.
Me too. He has nine shares of Tesla.
Nine fucking shares of Tesla, and he cost Elon $55.8 billion. I love this. I love this so much. And here's the funny part now. So now that Elon's paycheck has been slashed, as it were, He's trying to have a shareholder vote now to reincorporate the company in Texas from Delaware.
Right.
Which is actually going to cause more lawsuits.
Yes.
Because it just, oh, I mean, this
Listen,
guy.
Kids, ketamine is bad for you. Okay. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And it's just going to get shot down because they're seeing it as obviously a petty move and not fiduciarily responsible. Mm-hmm. So glad
I sold so much of my Tesla stock.
Yeah. And it got to be so bad. Former Tesla counsel Todd Maron broke down in tears in court. So that's the level of adulthood that we have going on over there.
Zero.
I mean, I'm sorry. 9 shares. That's all it took. 9 shares and tenacity.
Fucking that guy's my hero.
He is my hero.
I'm sure his music sucks, but he's still my hero.
Exactly. That's why he could only afford 9 shares. Oh, man. He definitely isn't crying about getting kicked off of TikTok. Let's say
that. No.
And because the hits just keep on coming for old Muskie, he was voted for a 2nd year in a row most overrated CEO. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And I love this part at the end here. Even Musk tends to agree. After an ex-user asked Musk's company's Grok, the chatbot that's built into X/Twitter now, roast Elon Musk with one word, and the bot replied, overrated. And at least Elon replied, accurate. So, yeah, at least he knows he's overrated. But now everybody knows 2 years in a row. He had 2 years to fix this.
I don't think he cares.
Again, no, I don't think he does.
Ketamine's bad for you, kids.
I think he might start caring since he lost $55 billion. That might tip the scales. Now, and I was thinking about this morning. You know, everybody has ditched X because of, you know, we liked Twitter. We don't like X. We don't like Elon.
I don't like that brand new company, X.
No, that brand new 14-month-old company. Yeah.
Young whippersnappers.
Those guys don't know what they're doing over there. So I'm thinking, I'm like, how much longer is it going to actually exist as an Elon joint? Because, I mean, they're hemorrhaging people, they're hemorrhaging money, and I think that somebody's going to have to swoop in at some point and buy it. I think that it's inevitable. And how long is that going to take? 2 more years, maybe 3 more years, and then the pendulum might swing the other way again, depending on who buys it. But I don't see old Captain Elon at the helm of that ship for a hell of a lot longer.
No, but if it doesn't happen sooner rather than later, it's not going to make a fucking bit of difference because you've got Threads, you've got Blue Sky. Threads seems to really be picking up steam.
130 million users now.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, I bet more than less than 1% are ages 13 to 17.
Yeah. How long have they been around now, the Threads? 14 months or so? Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. And just one more nail in the Elon coffin. SpaceX is being sued for negligence in an accident that led to a worker's coma. This guy, Francisco Cabada, has been in a coma for 2 years now because one of the Raptor engines that they were testing, a big chunk of it flew off and hit him in the head.
But hey, you know what? Free Neuralink implant to see if we can fix this guy.
Oh, shit. I didn't even cross-reference to see if that was the guy. Oh, man.
So actually, we're going to charge you a cost because, you know, I need the money.
Exactly. We can't afford, you know, we'll get you labor only. That's okay. So his wife is finally suing him, is finally suing SpaceX for her husband being in the coma. Mm-hmm. And nobody would comment on this. So that's all we have at this point. So,
yeah.
But yeah, and apparently there are a lot of injuries going on over at SpaceX that have not been reported. Something along the lines of crushed limbs, amputations, electrocutions, head and eye injuries, and one death.
Well, rocket science is actually a big deal.
Everyone needs a world-class VPN. Grumpy Old Geeks recommends private internet access to protect your online privacy and identity. Private internet access never keeps any records of their users' online activities, so you can be assured that you have complete privacy and nobody knows what you're doing online. No matter your technical skills, private internet access is one of the easiest VPN apps out there. All it takes to connect is just one click or tap, and your data will be encrypted instantly. With just one private internet access VPN subscription, you can connect up to 10 devices at the same time. Go to gog.show/VPN and sign up today. For a limited time only, you can get our favorite VPN for just $2.69 a month when you sign up for 2 years. gog.show/VPN. That's gog.show/VPN.
This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. Now, on this show, we talk a lot about how much of our personal info is out there. We're talking about home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. And if you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're not alone. That's why I want to tell you about Delete Me. It's a game changer for protecting your personal information. As someone who's been through the ringer with spam calls and phishing attempts, finding Delete Me felt like a breath of fresh air. Could your potential views expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence in this election year? The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. Angry individuals, motivated by their political beliefs, can now easily access personal details from data brokers for 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment and identity theft. Fortunately, you can safeguard your data with Delete Me. Delete Me scours the internet, finding and removing you and your family's personal data from hundreds of data broker websites. And they don't just do it once, they monitor your information to ensure that it stays private. I signed up and provided the specifics on what I wanted to go, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me in the loop with regular updates, showing exactly where my info was popping up and confirming when it was removed. Seeing how dedicated they are to protecting my privacy is a relief. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now available at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. One more time, that's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. On this show, we often discuss the vast amount of personal info floating around out there. We're talking home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. If you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're definitely not alone. That's why I need to tell you about Delete Me. It's been a game changer for me in protecting my personal information. As someone who's been bombarded with spam calls and phishing attempts, discovering Delete Me was like finding a magic shield. Here's a really frustrating fact. The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. With rising political tensions, your political views could expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence. Angry people, fueled by their beliefs, can access your data from data brokers that cover 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment, identity theft, or worse. But there's good news. Delete Me works tirelessly to safeguard your data. They scour the internet, finding and removing your personal information from some of the largest data brokers in the world. And they don't just do it once, they continuously monitor to ensure your info stays private. I signed up and provided details on what I wanted removed, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me updated with regular reports, showing me where my information was popping up and confirming when it was deleted. Seeing their commitment to protecting my privacy has truly been a relief. Now, here's something special for all of you. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get that 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout.
Media Candy.
Jason, big announcement
Brian.
This week.
Oh, what is it?
Seen on that new company X that's been around for 14 months. We are ineffably elated to confirm that Good Omens will return for a third season. This calls for a round of hot chocolate and sweet treats.
You know, the funny thing is, though, I thought I said that about 3 weeks ago because I saw it on Blue Sky. when Neil announced it over on Blue Sky because he had left X and announced it over there.
Well,
so
we finally made the PR rounds to Amazon.
Finally made it around. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
No, so, that's great.
Yeah, I'm excited because they left it on a bit of a cliffhanger, as it were.
You
so.
Think?
Yeah. Looking forward to it. I'm hoping and assuming that Neil Gaiman is heavily involved in the writing. So.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Okay. I did want to touch on Monarch Legacy of Monsters because I had forgotten I'd finished it last week and just kind of mentioned it in passing.
Yeah.
I actually really did enjoy it. It was good. I didn't need all the monsters. Of course, they're going to come back for a second season because they left it again. You know, Kong shows up out of nowhere. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a good show. So I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. Yeah. I think it'll be decent, especially since, you know, we know what's going to happen with the reunion of the old guys and all that. So that's it'll be really interesting.
I started watching a new show on Apple Plus, The Reluctant Traveler with Eugene Levy. Mm. If you know Eugene Levy, you know exactly what this show is going to be like.
Okay.
I liked it. It was fine. This is one of those that you should dip into once every month or so. You need to forget the formula and Eugene Levy, and then you can come back and watch another episode and enjoy it because you've forgotten all about it. If you watch it in a row, it's horrible. Because it's you know, it is exactly what you would expect. Eugene Levy doesn't want to go. He's miserable the whole time he's there. They put him in the best part about the show is actually they find like the most insane like $15,000 a night hotels that they put him up in. And the hotels are fucking unbelievable. So he's happy about that part. Then he has to do something he really doesn't want to do that isn't really that big of a deal, but it's Eugene Levy. So so the eyebrow goes up and he's miserable and he does his sides to the camera. At the end, he's learned something important and he's really come around to this place and his people are nice and I feel better about the whole thing. Next episode, exactly the same thing somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. You know, it's fun. If you like Eugene Levy, you'll get a kick out of it.
Okay. I don't, which is why I think Apple is really knocking it out of the park with their recommendations on Apple TV Plus, because I did not know this existed. And I get almost every single Apple TV recommendation that there is.
Right.
So I think that they know. They've nailed the recommendation engine over there.
Okay.
Smartless podcast is moving to SiriusXM in an exclusive $100 million deal. Because they didn't learn anything from Spotify's or Amazon's deal. This was an Amazon deal.
Well, SiriusXM has got to do something because they are. I the only reason they're still in existence is because they make it so goddamn hard to fucking cancel.
Yeah, which is why they're getting sued in New York.
Yep.
So I just think that they need. I think that these companies have figured out how to use podcasting as a tax write off.
Yeah.
I bet this deal is completely engineered as a tax write-off, just like WKRP in Cincinnati ended up being. spoiler alert.
Yeah.
This
is horrible news for my wife initially because she listens to it nonstop. She's always listening to the Smartless podcast. She watched the show the documentary thing on HBO.
God.
I told her about this and she got really freaked out, but then she looked into it. Not really exclusive. What they're doing is they're keeping the back catalog exclusive, but new episodes will come out everywhere just like normal.
Yeah. And as we know, the back catalog isn't really monetizable, you know, past six months.
So it's a fucking $100 million great deal for the Smartless guys.
Oh, yeah. On top of their $60 million deal they just walked out of.
Yeah.
There's no podcast that's worth this much money. There's just not.
None.
There's no way that they're going to make this money back, period.
No chance in hell.
No. it's a 3-year deal. So that's, you know, still $33 million a year. They're not going to make $33 million back on one show.
And nobody's learned that yet.
That's why I think that there's something else going on behind the scenes, why they need a write-off.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
That's my gut. My gut feeling is that we're not seeing the actual accounting that's happening here. So.
Yeah.
Because a 5-year-old could see that that's not going to work.
Well, I'll ask my 7-year-old. We'll see.
Yeah, see if he can figure it out.
Like Netflix and Disney Plus before it, Hulu is clamping down on password sharing outside the account holder's primary personal residence per an updated subscriber agreement. That is, unless the practice is permitted by your service tier, indicating that users may be able to pay extra to share their membership outside of their household. They will need to start complying with these new rules by March 14th, as The Verge is reporting. The service has been informing subscribers in email that it's adding limitations on sharing your account outside of your household, but they have not made it clear exactly how Hulu plans to track them.
Okay.
So stop doing it. We're not going to tell you how or why, and you may be able to pay more.
Okay. Of course.
For most people in the U.S., this doesn't mean shit because Disney Plus is Hulu's now wrapped up in Disney Plus. So you're
exactly
bound by those different requirements. So
yeah, that's the thing. At this point, I'm really on the edge of just canceling them both because there's nothing
it's
coming
not
down
thing.
The pipe on either one. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's nothing new from Disney that I want to see. And Hulu is just kind of one of those ones that I go to. I'm like, okay, is there anything? I scrub all of the other services and there's nothing there. Then I'm like, okay, let's give Hulu one last try, see if there's anything there. So
right.
The only thing I got to say on Hulu that I am addicted to is Death and Other Details. Oh, God, it's so fucking good. So good. Highly recommended. Masters of the Air has been out for 2 weeks now. I just watched episode 3 last night. I'm very saddened by this show.
No good.
This is supposedly the Band of Brothers teams. You know, Band of Brothers was one of the most phenomenal series ever made. The Pacific, Masters of the Air. Band of Brothers spent the entire first episode on character development.
Yep.
And you knew exactly who everybody was, where they came from, what they were doing. The Pacific, they tried. It wasn't that great. Masters of the Air, they just threw this shit out the window and just jumped straight into the plane. And it makes me not give a shit about these people, which
right.
is really a really sad thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think a lot of the problem is most of these guys die because you look at the return rates on you know, bomber crews in World War II, and it's just ungodly, you know, how many people were shot down and got killed or became POWs. So they have that as a problem to begin with. The flying scenes, a little too over
CGI. Yeah.
Too CG'd. It's not catching me. It's really not catching me. So hopefully maybe they'll catch a stride, but it's pretty, but that's about it. You know, there's just not enough character development to really make me care about these guys.
I haven't really seen any positive reviews on it, and I'm kind of waiting now. Like, I'm not going to invest in it until somebody says I should. So nobody has told me to do it yet. So,
yeah. No, it's not. To me, I'm going to keep watching it because I tell you what, it is gorgeous on my 75-inch TV in 4K. But there's just no.
Yeah, but so are the plot. Apple screensavers.
That's true. That is true. They are beautiful. So I do have one recommendation, though, on a fantastic show that just has the same amount of episodes out right now. Monsieur Spade. It is a new neo-noir show that stars Clive Owen.
Okay.
I love Clive Owen. He's Sam Spade. So this takes place after the Maltese Falcon. He's 60 years old and living in France. And it's a murder drama. And it is awesome. It is really, 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 really good. Like I said, 3 episodes out. It's on AMC. And so you can get it on AMC or AMC Plus if you have that. I just went to Sweden instead. And it's so good. It's fast-paced. Like the dialogue's – it's like a Sam Spade type of thing. He's like, hey, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- And it's just, I can't recommend this enough. My dad actually turned me on to this.
Nice.
So if you like the Perry Mason reboot, or not, or the prequel that they did on HBO, mm-hmm. And now Max, it's very similar to that in style and tone, but it's beautifully shot and amazingly well acted. I can't recommend that one enough.
Okay, cool.
Yep. And turns out 28 Days Later is going to be coming back with 28 Years Later, even though it's not been 22
years
later.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, yeah. By the time it comes out, who the hell knows?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but Danny Boyle's back, so who cares? That's all I care about. Danny's back. And Cillian Murphy might come back. So they're working that out. He's an executive producer, but I think his Oppenheimer Oscar nom will definitely help bring that up. You know,
yeah.
If that's just a win for them. But
Good movies.
Sony picked up the rights. Well, I'd
be more excited about 28 years later for Shaun of the Dead, but okay.
I know. That's what I was thinking of, too, when I was watching this. I'm just like, man, why don't they do another Shaun of the Dead?
That would be great.
The single best zombie movie ever made.
Of course. Fantastic. Yeah, even my wife loves it.
You can't not.
Yeah.
You can't not love that movie.
Yeah.
But I think 28 Days Later is right up there in the – I mean, that's like – I think the second best for me because it was just it broke the mold. It gave you running zombies. It was scary as shit. Nobody had seen that before, and it was just like, oh, I like this. This is actually, you know, takes it up a notch. Some people are very anti the running zombies, which would be Simon Pegg and Shaun of the Dead. He hates the running zombies.
Yeah.
But I like them, so I hope they make this thing and get it done.
Well, we've been talking a little bit earlier about Gizmodo and how much we've been enjoying them and their writing and all that sort of stuff. I didn't realize how deep they were actually getting as well. They run a series about Star Trek anniversaries. Like they will bring up every week, like what happened in the past with Star Trek, and they start talking about it. And this week's I discovered it because I guess this one was going a little bit viral, so it was pumped up their algorithm and bubbled up in my feed a bit higher. This is great. It's a banner week in a banner week for questionable Star Trek anniversaries. But while earlier this week we found at least something to admire in Voyager's bold exploration of the Warp 10 threshold and space amphibian evolution, there's very little to admire in the other major milestone. 30 years ago today, the next generation took us to planet Scotland and Sub Rosa, where Beverly Crusher exchanged all thoughts of character agency for 40 minutes in exchange for some generational family ghost loving. Yes, my friend, it's the ghost candle sex episode. But how bad can the ghost candle sex episode really be? The answer is very bad. Very, very bad.
This is one of the greatest episodes of all time.
This is one of the greatest write-ups about one of the greatest episodes of all time. It is great. The link will be in the show notes. If you remember this episode and how fucking stupid it was, you're going to love this.
When I first moved to Los Angeles and we were living over in Hollywood, every time we would go to the mall, we'd be going to the Beverly Center because every time
Beverly.
If you've seen the episode, you know you'll get it. But that was a running joke, I think, for 10 years. Oh, that episode gave so much to the world.
It really did.
Fantastic. A little news on Daredevil, Born Again, which I didn't know that they had a title, and they're bringing they're putting the band back together. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Bullseye will be coming back, which is cool. The other cool thing is they apparently took the writer's strike to go and fix a lot of things that were wrong with it. So they went and reworked a bunch of the episodes. They're going to figure out how to shoot them and all that stuff. But the sad thing is they took it from 18 episodes, which might have been a little too much, actually, to a 13-episode season.
Okay.
Because, they make these things movies nowadays. It's not like, the old 22 episodes of TV.
Well, no, we don't have time for the Beverly Sex in Planet Scotland with a ghost episode.
We got
to cut to the real story here.
You cut to the story, but Beverly would be very sad to hear this. I'm just looking forward to it. They say it's not going to be till 2025 now, so boo.
Okay.
Hey, but we're going to get some more Daredevil. They're going to be, Daredevil in the, old folks' home. But hey, we'll get it.
Well, speaking of that, and I didn't put this in the show notes because I just saw it a little bit earlier today. We finally have a release date for the Beetlejuice sequel, which is cleverly titled Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yep.
Yeah, it's coming in, I think August or September. Can't remember.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Hopefully the chemistry and the magic is still there.
Yep. Hope so.
Yeah, the new Ghostbusters doesn't look too bad.
That one looks
all
right,
either.
Too.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I'm kind of, we'll see what they do. See what they do. I'm in. I just want to go get to the theater and go see Godzilla Year One.
I really want to go see that. Yeah.
I want to see it in the theater. My buddy wants to go, so I think we're going to try that this week. I haven't been to the theater in 5 years. So it'll be an experience.
I went for the Mario Brothers movie with the kid.
Okay.
Yep. It's a good time.
All right. This is we'll just close out with this one. Richard Prince. We covered him a long time ago. Basically what he was doing is he would do a screenshot of an Instagram post and then print it really big and sell it for a gazillion dollars. up to $100,000 each for these things.
And this is why I find the art world to be complete and utter bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is.
One of many reasons.
No, I used to work in the art world, and everybody in the art world knows it's bullshit.
Right.
That's the great part about it.
That's why NFTs weren't much of a stretch. Also,
no,
bullshit.
Actually, they weren't. Yeah. Yeah. When I explained them to my dad at first, he was just like, that tracks.
Yeah. Sucker born okay. Any minute. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So he has agreed to pay at least $650,000 to two of the photographers in the copyright lawsuit. So they win. He loses, but he still wins because I'm sure he gets to keep a lot of that money that he made from those pieces that he just blatantly stole and printed. See, if he you can't even do that shit at Kinko's. Well, actually, you can't do it at Kinko's because I don't think Kinko's exists anymore. But in the old days, you had to show proof of copyright if you wanted to copy something like that.
Yep.
Unless you worked there overnight like I did and just would copy whatever the hell you wanted. And if anybody gave you $5, you'd still copy it anyway. Yep. Hey, there's always a way.
Yes, that's true.
Ups and doodads.
Well, so far, Brian, it looks like Apple has sold about 200,000 of the Vision Pro headsets.
Pretty impressive. That's, we don't know exactly how many they have, but I'm assuming that's probably most of them.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it is. They said they were going to make up to 500,000 the first year. But And the interesting story, the side story, is that there were so many people that were buying them to repost on eBay. And completely figured out how to get around that part where you have to scan your head. It's like they were clever enough to get around Apple's head scanning issue. So apparently one hacker figured out how to take the head scanning data, put it off to the side, and then use that during the pre-order process and just kind of inject it into the pre-order process. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just tell everybody, oh, when you get there, tell them it doesn't fit, or if it fits, great. But there's a program that when you come in to get it fitted for the first time, if it doesn't fit, they'll refit you with a different one. So I imagine there's going to be one size that's going to be all over the place.
Right.
So, yeah, good for them. I can't wait to hear some actual reviews with people that have it. There's going to be over 600 apps when it first comes out, which is pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. Yeah.
I just got an email this morning that Fantastical is now optimized for Vision Pro. I'm like, okay, great. Just what I want. Spatial calendar.
Woohoo.
Yeah. Yep. I don't even want Fantastical, let alone do I want Fantastical in 3D. This is an interesting one. And this comes back to something I said a long time ago. It's Apple says EU accounts for just 7% of its global App Store revenue. And I said, back when the EU was getting all pissy about, you know, all of this stuff, I'm like, well, Apple could just say no and pull out because it's a smaller market and they can take the hit.
Yep.
And that would teach them a lesson.
Yes.
And so what Tim Cook is doing is he's making these new rules for the side loading of App Store, you know, so you bring your own App Store and shit. He's making the term so onerous that nobody's going to want to do it. Even Mark Zuckerberg said, yeah, nobody's going to want to do that. So I think this comes back to them just saying, yeah, fuck you. You're nothing to us.
This is definitely a shot across the bow saying, okay, we don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting because 7% of Apple's global App Store revenue compared to their total revenue is probably like, you know, less than 0.5% of total revenue. So I don't think they would, you know, I don't even think they would notice the hit if it went away.
Probably
they would
not,
notice. What they would notice is the hardware hit because I think people would stop actually buying iPhones. But even that, you know, we'll see how this plays out. But I think Apple's definitely pushing back and they're not happy about it. And do I think that's cool? No, I don't. But I think that we should be able to load whatever app we want on our fucking phone personally. But, you know, they're going to hang on to every last bit of that revenue as they can.
Yeah. They built it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think I remember talking about this gizmo when it first came out, and we just kind of laughed about it and never discussed it again. But a couple of years ago, Snap decided that the selfie production pipeline needed to be improved upon. Bathroom mirrors and selfie sticks, not cutting it. So they decided the next evolution in the art of taking pictures of yourself would involve a flying robot. So it launched the Pixie, the tiny yellow drone, designed to follow you around and take cute candids of you while you did stuff.
Yeah, it was cute. It was a cute little drone.
Yeah, it was a cute little thing that retailed between $185 and $250.
Wasn't that cute?
Not that cute, and it did not do well. So Snap halted development on the product a mere 4 months after it launched. However, lots of these things are out there. During its short reign, the drone's tagline was "Your friendly flying camera." Except it turns out those devices aren't quite so friendly after all. In fact, Snap is urging the small number of people who did buy the Pixie to immediately stop using it and remove the battery and stop charging it. If you're wondering why, it's because the damn thing could overheat and explode.
Whoops.
So, yes, the battery can overheat, potentially catch on fire and injure you while taking a cute selfie. They report that the drone should be returned without the batteries. You need to figure out how to get rid of those death traps.
You keep the little flying bomb. We'll just take give us the propellers.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, these guys can't catch a break.
No, they really can't, but they're still there.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Something else that's still there. Let's get into the AI news. Okay. Sam Altman is, he's a bigger flip-flopper than John Kerry. So now he's saying GPT-5 will just be okay. It'll be okay.
All right.
You know, he's managing expectations on one side. On the other side, he's saying, it's going to kill us all. But so which one is it, Sam? Which one is it today?
It's going to kill us all in a very bland way.
It is. It's going to kill us through boring fucking headlines. That's why I don't even care what these guys say anymore. You know,
no, the whole thing worth listening to.
No, because it's all self-serving bullshit. The whole thing with, let's have a moratorium. It's like because everybody that signed that moratorium was starting an AI company and wanted to catch up. But it seems like all the people with the money have caught up and are actually surpassing what GPT-4 can do, at least at this point. So it's all because it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's all just, you know, incremental differences based on the same logical code base. You know, people are doing little tweaks to it, but the underlying theory is the same for all of them. So in half of the shit's open source now. So, you know, it is what it is. There's a really good article that I found called How AI Works, which is a very non-technical, extremely non-technical explanation of how LLMs work and the whole thing.
Right.
So I recommend I think anybody can read this and get a better grasp on what AI is, because it'll be better cocktail party conversation for everybody if you guys got at least a little bit of a handle on it.
Yeah.
So recommend checking that out. And he does a follow-up article called How AI Doesn't Work. All the things that you hear in the articles from Sam Altman. Yeah, it doesn't do that. Yeah, it doesn't do that. No, it does not have a soul. It does not reason. It doesn't understand many, 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 many things. So this guy, Nir Zuckerman, is the guy that wrote it. He used to be the former head of audiobooks at Spotify, and he was one of the co-founders of Anchor, one of the shittiest podcast hosting platforms of all time.
Didn't we talk to them at some point? Were we on them?
His writing's pretty good, so he should stick to that.
Okay.
We were never on Anchor. No, okay. No, I would never, ever move to Anchor. Anchor was one of I could go on for an hour about the shittiness of Anchor, So, if you just want to drown in another sea of bullshit, Vitalik Buterin, one of the co-founders of Ethereum, he wrote an article, "The Promise and Challenges of Crypto Plus AI Applications."
Mm-hmm.
And it even includes a Venn diagram. Woo. On the artificial intelligence side, he's got centralized, little transparency, energy consumptive, monetization limited, and monopolistic. On the blockchain side, we've got decentralized, transparent, energy efficient solutions. Fucking finally, user monetization and accessible. So the synergies are data ownership, transparency, monetization, cost cutting, competition, innovation, and inclusive. Fuck you.
Well, if you'd like that bullshit in a more bite-sized chunk, you can listen to the latest episode of Pivot, Deepfake Regulation, Media Layoffs, and guest Chris Dixon. Now, Chris Dixon is promoting his latest book, Read, Write, Own, Building the Next Era of the Internet by Chris Dixon. Chris Dixon is an American internet entrepreneur and investor.
And here's douchebag. Here's
all you need to know. He is a general partner at the venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz.
Boom!
Boom!
Gotcha.
So he goes on and he talks to Scott and Kara, and he's trying to extol the virtues of the blockchain and AI and all the applications being built on the blockchain. And they did a really good job of saying, so, like, what? And he had nothing. And he kept going back to, there's just some really cool things. Like what?
Like what?
Prove nothing.
Show
this tells
work,
me I will never fucking read this book. He had to have been prepared for this, but he had nothing. He did not say a single thing that made me think blockchain is worth fucking shit at all, or it's going to be the future at all. The best he could do was like, well, there's some really interesting things out there. Like, you know, there's a platform that lets people across the internet that have never met before write a story together so that eventually if it gets picked up, they can share the proceeds of the IP. What? Fuck you. That's stupid. The best you've got is a way to jumpstart some creativity so then it gets sold into the normal pipelines of things. That's it? That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking
he's so stupid. And we've been screaming about this stuff for so long, and there's so much money being pumped into it. Even the people that know the most about this stuff, that live in it, that invest in it, that write books about it, when they've asked what they can actually do with it, nothing.
Nope. You know why? Because they're still banking on the fucking greater fool theory. Yep. That's it. That is their business model now. They need to rope people in so they can get rid of it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Until when the next shiny thing comes along.
Yep.
That's it. The problem is you're still hearing about Web3 and the blockchain from these guys because they still got so much fucking money in it that they can't get rid of.
That's true.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the entire that is the entire house of cards right there.
Yeah.
So
I think it's highly worth listening to that interview because it's just great. Like he's gung-ho about everything, and then as soon as he gets questioned, just literally nothing. Just falls apart.
You know, that I don't listen to that show anymore because I'm kind of over them, but yeah. I think I'll make an exception this time.
Yeah, just forward to the interview
I'll make
part.
An exception.
It's good.
At the library.
Well, I took your suggestion, Jason, and I picked up This Book May Save Your Life, Everyday Health Hacks to Worry Less and Live Better by Karan Rajan. Highly enjoyable, fun book.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're all going to die and our bodies are fucking useless, but hey, great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At least you can get a chuckle on the way to the grave.
Yeah. He's a wonderful communicator. He's a great health communicator. Definitely dig him. So it's a fun book. It's a good read. You learned a few things for sure. I like the little everyday health hacks. It's nothing we don't know. Drink a lot of water. Eat vegetables. Okay.
Yeah, he's fun to watch on Instagram, too, because his videos are very entertaining. So
I'll have to follow him.
Yeah, yeah. He does some takedowns of viral folks when they're, like, talking about different things. He's like, well, that's kind of true, but really not. He really breaks it down. It's funny. I have been, since the beginning of the year, every morning I get up and open up my iPad, and I've got two of those daily tip dealios going on. The first one I'd check out is The Daily Laws, 366 Meditations on Power, Seduction, Mastery, Strategy, and Human Nature by Robert Greene.
Okay.
Because I like Robert Greene, and I got this on sale a long time ago. And it's been sitting in my Kindle for a long time. But at the beginning of the year, I'm like, maybe I should try these things. Because the second one I've got, that my dad swears by, and I even bought him a very nice leather-bound autographed version of. It's The Daily Stoic, 366 Meditations on Wisdom, Perseverance, and the Art of Living by Ryan Holiday and Stephen Hanselman. The funny thing is, Robert Greene, Robert Greene and Ryan Holiday they're tied at the hip because Ryan Holiday used to be Robert Greene's writing assistant.
Right.
And he learned everything about writing from Robert Greene, except how to write, unfortunately. My dad and I both chuckle about the fact that Ryan Holiday is one of the worst writers we've ever read. The ideas are there. The ideas are good. If you can get past the horribleness of his actual writing, then the books are enjoyable. But you can't say that Ryan Holiday is a good writer by any stretch of the imagination. Good ideas, poor execution. Robert Greene, great writer. I really enjoy his stuff.
It's funny that you mentioned Stoicism because I stumbled across an article earlier this week and I was going to send it to you, but then I totally forgot. I think it was over on The Guardian. Because it's Johnny Lydon's birthday this week. I think he turned 68 or something like that. And it was this really long, great article about how punk rock and stoicism are intricately connected and gets really deep into it. I was like, Jason would like this, but then I totally forgot. So, it's on The Guardian. Search for Johnny Lydon.
Okay. Okay. That's homework. So we'll see. You know, we don't do homework on this show.
No, we don't.
I do want to throw out a pitch for my friend Teresa McNulty's new book, Itchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cute little kids book, for age 4 to 5.
Nice. You know,
that little range. So she just put it out. It's paperback. Go check it out. Link is in the show notes. So good luck, Teresa. Kill it.
Closing shout outs.
Over at Patreon, we've got Mariana. Mariana, just for you, Deliveroo. Ms. BKG18 wrote us a beautiful review. Thank you very much. It's very long, but so we will read that. We won't read that to you listeners right now. But she does have a personal request. At the beginning of 2023, you both mentioned a great $1,000 chair, but I can't find the name. That would be the Herman Miller Mira 2.
Sitting on it right now.
I'm standing because I need to stand. But as soon as I go back, I will edit this show sitting on that chair too, because it is the best Herman Miller chair that they make, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much. Over at PayPal, we've got Charlie, Richard, Simon, Judge, Hawaii, Thomas, Nikolai, Levy, and Nicolay. It's a tongue twisting time.
It is. Over at the tip jar, we've got Adam, Nick, Matthew, and Sarah. Oh. And again, no reviews. What happened?
I think every single one of our listeners has already given us a review, Jason.
I think that, and then some. So get well soon, Dave. Dave is out this week with an ailment. So tune back in next week for Shit Shower and Shave with Dave.
That's right. Until next time, I'm Brian Schulmeister.
And I'm Jason DeFilippo. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. Show notes and links to everything we talked about today are at gog.show/634. gog.show/donate is the place to drop us a few bills so we can keep bringing you this top-notch entertainment. And don't forget to share the show with your friends and enemies. It's just a little button in your player. Click it, share it, boom, Bob's your uncle. And at gog.show, you can find a link to our Discord channel if you want to chat with us and other show fans. Head over to gog.show/contact to send us your feedback, comments, or links to cool shit you think we should talk about on the air. And since apparently nobody gets to this part, I just want to reiterate, gog.show/review is where you can toss us a review and preferably 5 stars that we can read on the air. Stay grumpy.